what he calls the hinges of history. They're about ancient cultures that shaped our modern world. His latest is called Sailing the Wine-Dark Sea, Why the Greeks Matter. What's remarkable about the ancient Greeks is the way they revolutionized so many different aspects of life. Art, science, philosophy, and politics. Steve Paulson sat down with Cahill to talk about the glory of ancient Greece.
How do you explain this incredible cultural flowering in this particular place at this time?
Well, very early in the book, I quote the eminent Dr. Seuss and say that it just happened to happen. But it still is true that the geography of Greece certainly was a factor. Greece is so cut up geographically. You know, there's a peninsula here, a peninsula there, islands all over the place. And I think that this meant that there were many, many small communities within Greece.
And I suppose they're always interacting with each other.
Well, that's the
other thing. Sailing from one island to the next.
Yes, the sailing, of course, was a big part of it. And they spoke one language. They all spoke Greek. They knew they were Greeks. And at the same time, the localities and the differences from one locality to another contributed greatly to the variety of Greek culture. For instance, Corinth was a real crossroads between Europe and Asia. It was a place of enormous variety of goods coming in from different places, all sorts of exotica. Corinth, because of its position, became extremely rich and was known as Fat Corinth to the Greeks themselves. It was a place of absolute and utter sybaritic pleasure. That's what they did in Corinth. Sparta was extremely Spartan. No one had any pleasure in Sparta, as far as I can see.
But they seemed to be very good at conducting wars there.
Yeah, they became better and better, but it was landlocked. It didn't have any. It was completely unlike Corinth in that it had no access to anything. And it was the most wretched kind of military dictatorship. I compare it to North Korea. Then you have Athens, the home of democracy and art and free speech, a kind of air of freedom that went through the place, and the home of drama, both of tragedy and comedy. These are very, very different places from one another.
So how do you explain all of this stuff that happened in this particular city?
Well, they got a great kick out of being different from one another. It's certainly true that long before the rise of democracy in Athens, you see it in the Iliad, which is the beginning of Greek literature. On the night before the battle, all the soldiers have arguments about how the battle should be conducted on the next day. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody throws his 2 cents in, and nobody gets hanged from the nearest tree for disagreeing with the general.
And I suppose that must have been a radical development in that day and age.
It stands alone because it's the only society in which the king doesn't have the first and the last word. Everybody else seems to jump in.
You mentioned the Iliad, the first great book certainly in Greek culture, maybe in Western culture. In a lot of ways, the Iliad shows a totally different world than we live in today. I mean, there's all of this talk about honor and glory, mm-hmm. values that I have a hard time relating to.
No, that's quite true. And I mean, there are two great streams of the Western tradition, the Judeo-Christian and the Greco-Roman. The Judeo-Christian stream gives us our value system, and honor and glory are not at the center of that system. You know, things like justice and charity are, which are very different, and which were not at the center of the Greek system. No two ways about it.
Well, I have to tell you, the Iliad was a story that I always loved as a kid, I mean, in some pared-down version. And I always identified with the Trojans. Hector was the guy I liked, the great tragic hero of the Trojans. And, of course, he's killed by Achilles. And Achilles, to me, was this rather unappealing figure. And I don't know if I'm unusual here or if we're meant to identify with the Trojans, with the losers of the war.
Well, first of all, the Iliad is a real boy's story. it's a perfect story for pre-adolescent boys, I think. And in many ways, the Greeks of that period, you could compare them to pre-adolescent boys. That's what they were like, you know. They had lots of fantasies about winning on battlefields, probably a lot more fantasies than actualities. And I also think it's true that for Homer,